It was a much bigger island than I expected. I was about... not so bad. Baruch Hashem. This is our final shmooze on tefillah also. We've been working on davening for... This will be our seventh week. And I'd like to thank the Olam. I really feel that it's been an opportunity for me to reevaluate my own davening. And I hope it'll carry through for us. I can always listen to the shmuzin on the recording if I need an extra boost. Sometimes that works for me. Hear it again. And it could be that in the winter we'll focus on Hodah, another part of davening that we didn't get a chance to do now. Maybe in the winter we'll do a whole Siyata Dishmaya, a whole series on working on being Makir, the Rabbono Shalom's Tovus. Right now we're working on Bakashas. We've been working on the Kesher with us in Rabbono Shalom and the needs that we have and how those needs allow us to create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how to have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we came into the sugya, the difficult sugya, which is in Yoni Diyoma last week, of Tzipisali Yeshua, of Lamaisa. There's a lot of our life is supposed to be focused on the fact that the Geula has to come, that the world is not the way it's supposed to be. And certainly in this matzav that we're in Eretz Yisrael, everyone who's here, it's palatable. You can feel the finish line. You can feel it. Everyone is feeling the finish line. No one knows exactly how it's going to be, and anything can happen at any moment. But right now, it's palatable. We can taste it. We can see that something here is going on. And let's talk about how that's integrated into our davening. Because in theory, anyone who hasn't taken a stab at this in thinking about Jewish history from beginning to its end that we're, Be'ezus Hashem, should be zochet to in our lifetime. Someone who hasn't thought about that has basically shot himself out of major parts of davening in three times a day and in benching. Which means that if he hasn't ever had a desire for something in these areas, his tekah b'shofar, his hashiva shofteinu, his Yushalayim ircha, his etzemach David, his Visechazena Inenu, have never had any type of developed thought process, which is a scary thing. His Rachim in benching. So it is close to us. It is Shaykh to us. But we have to see how. And if we develop just in have a yeshiva's bezdin on how these things are connected with us, we'll see that things that we thought were only for Bali Madregas are very much things that we live with every day. The Chafetz Chaim is medayik. The question that we're asked after 120 is Tzipisa li Yeshua. What does the word Tzipisa li Yeshua mean? The word Sofa means to look out. Like in a lookout tower, there's a guy, and he's at Sofa. He's looking out. He's surveying what's going on. He's looking forward. The whole idea of Tzipisa li Yeshua is to look forward to something. It's not just to say that it should happen, it's to look forward to that thing. As we know from the Rambam we mentioned last week, the Rambam says part of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is to be machake, is to wait at the window, you know, looking for when it's going to come. You have to be able to find something in your life, some area where there's what to look forward to in the Geula. There's something that I want to happen over here. Mashiach is one thing that's supposed to make us very happy. The Bala Turim in Parshas Pinchas says the word Mashiach is Osios Yisamach. Mashiach will bring happiness. That's what he's supposed to do. And it has to be that way for every one of us. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. All of us have neshamas and all of us are involved. But it has to be that it will be something that will make us happy. And if it doesn't, it's a problem. I was thinking, you know, always the davening becomes lively during the week of the shmuz. New understandings of davening with the angle of the shmuz. We say in Ava Rabbah, we ask Hashem, V'arei Einenu B'sarasecha, V'dabik Libeinu Mitzvasecha, attach us to your mitzvos, Yachid L'Vaveinu L'Avol Yerushamecha, make us singularly interested in the love of Hashem, the fear of Hashem, And then we say, Kivishem Kajka Agadov Anor Batachnu, we believe in you. Nagila Vinismacha Biyeshua Secha, we will rejoice in your Yeshua. And then we say that Hashem should bring us from all four corners of the earth, Me'arba Kanfos Ha'aretz, Solechinicham Yisaretzenu. And Hashem should bring us back from Mashiach Tzidkenu. So now this idea that we say, Nagila Vinismacha Biyeshua Secha, right? So what are we saying exactly? It could be simply, you're saying that we're going to be so happy when this happens. And you're just telling Hashem that fact, which is a nice thing to say. You know, and also like we say in Mosav Ba'avodas Beis HaMikdash, Nismach Kulanu, we will be happy. But it's more than that. What you're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Hashem, I'm somebody who will be happy with this. My life right now is such that I have a ruchniyistic life. And you should know, Borei Olam, the reason you should bring this is because I'm capable of being happy with the world of ruchnias. Right now, in this crazy world with all the mishagas that's going on, I have a life that has a very healthy ruchnias to it, so much so that when you open the gates for Mashiach Tzidkenu and you make this world only ruchniyistic, I'm actually going to be happy. There was once a woman who was saying to another woman, I heard from one of the women that her friend was saying, you know, she doesn't want Mashiach to come because she might have to leave Brooklyn. You know, there's a lot of good shopping in Brooklyn. There's a lot going on. That's somebody, I hope she fixed it by now. It's been a few years since I heard the story. Klal Yisrael Kulum Kedoshim. But that's somebody who can't say Nagila V'nismacha B'Yeshua Secha. Basically, she created a life for herself where it's irrelevant. Ruchnias is totally irrelevant to her. It's something where it's fearsome for that thing to happen. But if a person is attached to ruchnias, so then a person can end up tapping into a simcha over here. And perhaps this is most well expressed in its most serious form in a Gemara in Baba Kama and Daf Nun Tes. The Gemara says the following: Eliezer Zeira Havisayim Misani Ukmi Vikoi Bishuki Dinaradai. Eliezer Zeira was having an intense avelus. He was wearing black clothes. He was very intense on the avelus of the Chorban. Ashkechu Debeirish Galusav Amalei Maishna Hani Misani. What are you dressed this way? Amalehu Dekama Avilna Yushalayim. I'm having avelus Yushalayim. Whoa, this is weird. Nobody does this. They thought it was Yura. So then he says to them, you think it's arrogance? We'll discuss what Yura is in a second, but like a false achievement of Ruchnias. Pick a place. You ask or I'll ask. Meaning, let's talk Shas over here. And they checked him. He passed with flying colors. They backed away. They were happy with this. What's going on over here? So Pashup Shat over here, Pashup Shat, is there's a whole sugya called Chayshina Liyura. Rav Avram ben Arambam, the son of the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMasbik Ovdei Hashem, says Yura is when you pretend to be something that you're not in order to impress people. You act very holy, you do things that are very extreme, but deep down your motivation is one that's not sincere. Why are you doing that? It must be that you're doing it to make yourself bigger. So maybe the Pashup Shat in the Gemara over here is once they tested him on Shas, and they saw that he's holding, so they saw he's sincere. If he's such a Gavra Rabba, then this must be real. That's one possible pshat. Another possible pshat, which is Nogel in Yanenu, perhaps the Sifsei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander, touches on this pshat, is the following. Is that no, that what does it mean to be Misavel on Yerushalayim? Someone who's Misavel on Yerushalayim in this intensified way, so the only way that he could be so sad right now is if he is really, really ruchniyistic. Because there are levels over here, right? All of us are davening for the Beis HaMikdash, and we have the Zecher LaMikdash in our houses, and we have, you know, we break the glass for the Chasan and Kala, all those things. But this person is totally entrenched in Avelus of the Churban. He's sitting there with Nihuge Avelus in the middle of the Shuk. So we have to see, where is he holding in his ruchnias? And if he's saturated with Torah, saturated with it, to the point where, you know, it's extreme, then such a person, we could believe that they could tap into such an intense feeling of loss from the Beis HaMikdash. Only such a person could have that. Now that is extreme. That's for somebody who's mamish sitting there all day like this, very, very sad. He's got to be an agave rabba. But to have a desire to look forward to the Beis HaMikdash, you don't need to be a Gavra Rabba. You need to be a Ben Taira. You need to be a Ben Taira. A Ben Taira is somebody, and we're all striving to be Bnei Taira. Not all of us are there. I hope I'm getting there. It's scary if I think about it, you know. But we can ask ourselves, are we really Bnei Taira? A Ben Taira is somebody's life basically revolves around Ruchnias. And as much as your life is revolving around Ruchnias, as much as you have a shaychus with Ruchnias in your life, that's as much as you can relate to whatever Mashiach is. Do we understand what Karbanos are? Not really. Do we understand what Mashiach is? Not really. But we understand that we're investing so much in our Ruchnias right now. And this is hard where we are right now. We're going to enter a zone where this will be, we will have home court advantage. Not just home court advantage, it'll just be like a knockout. That's it. There's no other side. Any person who's struggling with Ruchnias, who wants Ruchnias, so then by nature they can tap into looking forward to the Geula. They just have to know how. And if unfortunately they're not, then we find that Hashem says we have a problem over here. We have a problem. The guy doesn't look forward to more Ruchnias, so we'll make him look forward in another way. This is the very, very strong lashon of Rav Yaakov Emden, Zatzal, in his Siddur. Rav Yaakov Emden says that Il Malei Lohaya Ela Avon Zebiyadenu, if we only had one problem in our lives, that we're not Avlin Al Yerushalayim Karoi, we don't do sufficient type of Avelis on the Churban Abayis on Yerushalayim, then He be'enai hasiba krova, this is the most likely reason, hayoser glula atzuma v'chazaka, the most substantial and revealed reason, l'kol hashmados hagdolos and eros mavhilos arayonos asher matzanu begolos. All the terrible calamities that have happened to us in Golos, of all the things that Rabbi Yaakov Emden could think of the cause of them, it's that we don't look forward to the Beis HaMikdash. We're not misavel on the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And then he says, we've been chased away everywhere. And you can look in the world today, if you look up on world news, not just what's going on in our Dalet Amos over here, or in this country at large, but if you understand what's going on in France, and what's going on in Canada this week, and what's going on in New York City, you'll see that we're the nirdaf. We're the ones who are being chased. Why? He says, l'fisha yata eva alazmi libeinu, this feeling of loss has been lost from us. Biosenu shoktim ba'aretz lolanu. We're okay being in a land that's not ours and quiet. Shachachnus yushalayim ba'aretz lolanu. Al kain kemes milev nishkachnu. It's like a forgotten dead thing for us. What he's saying is the following. It's not a punishment like, you know, avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shfichas damim. Those have a chi of misa, chilul Shabbos. Here, the punishment is an education process, which is that if a person's not looking forward to this because they're not ruchniistic enough to realize that we have a goal, all of history of Klal Yisrael, starting from Adam HaRishon originally, going to Avram Avinu, going all the way through the Shvatim, and then going through Yetzias Mitzrayim, Maimedar Sinai, Eretz Yisrael, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Tanoim, Amoraim, Gaonim, Rishonim, Achronim, and now down to us, the Ikvasid Mashicha, someone who's not tapped into that reality, who's not involved in the Ruchnias of that thing, so they need a reminder that's very basic, that no, you think that life is about pizza and hamburgers and shopping? So now I'll show you that even in your sugyas, in your iced coffee and in your frozen yogurts, you're going to be chased out of your land. They're going to be chasing you out of the store. They're going to have you sitting in the back of the bus. They're going to be having you say, realize that this is the only address. But that's the way we don't want to get there. We want to get there because we realize that the Ruchnias that Yerushalayim has to offer us is something that we can identify with ourselves. So let's now go through what we want over here. Very nice. I'm rambling away about what we want over here. What exactly do we want? Very nice, we want Ruchnius. But what can we relate to over here? So the main thing that we can relate to, and this is the main thing of what Mashiach is going to be, is clarity. If I would say that that's probably what I spend most of my job professionally doing, and also what I'm involved in my own personal life, is I'm looking for clarity. Everybody's looking for clarity. We're looking for clarity in our lives to try to understand what we should be doing. We're looking for clarity in our learning. We're looking for clarity in how to see events. We're looking to understand what's going on. And always, when a person gets clarity, when someone's a Ben Torah, they feel a sense of accomplishment. They feel like they're alive. They feel like it's different. Life is different. There's something in Hashiva Shoftenu. In Hashiva Shoftenu, we daven for the original judges, which the Vilna Gaon says is the original Bezdin of David and Shlomo HaMelech. And then we ask for Yoatzim, we ask for advisors. Advice. Good advisors. Getting some good advice. Who are the Yoatzim? Says the Vilna Gaon in Avnei Eliyahu, this is Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron were the greatest advisors that could ever have been. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ramban says in Milchamas, in Brachas, that Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to understand things in 600,000 ways. 600,000 ways. And it also gave him an ability to understand every single person in Klal Yisrael exactly the way they needed to be understood. Always in life, we understand. Does he understand me? Does the rabbi understand me? Do I feel like I'm understood over here? By Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, this was their nakuda. They were able to go in there and tell you exactly what you needed to do, and there were no sveikas. There was no doubt. How much of our life is trying to find clarity in what we're going to do? You know, people sit in front of me, what should I do? I have no clue. They're coming to me. I'm like, what's this guy going to do? I'm thinking the same thing as them. He's like, what should I? I'm like, let's flip a coin. But by Moshe Rabbeinu was able to look into your neshama and see exactly. He would give you, do these five things. This is your Sharish neshama. And the Vilna Gaon says that originally the Nevi'im, even after Moshe Rabbeinu, you would go to a Navi, Gaon and Mishle, says you would go to a Navi, and the Navi would tell you exactly, Lefi, your neshama, what you should focus on. And that would be your focus, because you show a certain talent in a certain area, or you were brought here in this world to do something. When you daven Hashiva Shoftenu, what you're asking Hashem for is to understand life. Hashem, please let the justice system be real. Shlomo HaMelech and David in their Bezdin were the most wise of men who created a true justice system. There's so many things that are going on in the world that the crimes don't fit the punishment. You can go through the things that are going on in the paper and stam that you can speak about anyone and say anything you want about anyone, and no one's protected. When Beis Din was established properly, everything was al pi Torah. Everything was the way it was supposed to be. So you start off Hashiva Shoftenu Kvarishona. I want to live in a place where everyone gets what's fair, what's right. And I want good advice. I want clarity in my life. I want somebody who could just come and tell me exactly what to do. That's the Yoatzeinu Kivatchila. And the Vilna Gaon says, what does it mean? Vaser mimenu yagon vanacha. Very strange. In this bracha, we say, take away the anguish of my heart. He says, yagon is when you're bothered and you don't even know what you're bothered by. And we have this a lot. You ever just walk around, you just don't even know what you're bothered by. Are you okay? You're like, I guess, I don't know. I don't even know what. A yoetz has the ability to take you and say, you know what you're bothered by? What? Tell me. This is what you're bothered by. Oh, wow. And this is how you can fix it. This is our whole lives, Rabosai. This is all that frustrates us. And in Hashiva Shoftenu, you daven for that clarity. You're davening for that clarity. Also, we find in our own Torah what we can handle, what we can't handle. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Melachim. He says he has two prakim on Mashiach, and he says that in the time of Mashiach, Ba'os says man lo yisham lo ra velo milchama, there'll be no famines and no wars, velo kinav attack with no jealousy and fighting, shatovi yemishvas harbe, there'll be enough for everyone, velo ye esek kol alom el ladas Hashem bilvad, only people will be learning Torah to understand Hashem. And he brings a pasuk, ki mala haaretz deis Hashem kimaim liyam mechasim, that the world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem like water fills the yam, like water fills the yam. What's a yam? It's hard to translate. A yam is basically the cavity that holds water. That's what it is. It's there are many who are marach on this. The biggest raya is that this pasuk says the water will fill the yam. The yam is not when the water's inside. The yam is that big hole in the ground, and the water will fill that hole. What's the chiddush over here? Of course, water fills the hole. It's not such a big deal. Maybe it should overflow. Says Rav Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, in his last shtickle, in Hilchus Malachim, over here, a wondrous thing. He says that, what does it mean that the water fills the hole? Just perfectly. Mayim and Ayam. He says, there's so many times when you're learning today where you underestimate and you overestimate your capabilities. We have a whole sugya of four people, four great Tanoim, who went into Pardes. They went into areas of esoteric sugyas in Torah and Kabbalah. They went into different dimensions, and three of them didn't make it out, for all intents and purposes, alive. They got broken up in different ways. Apikorsis, madness, death itself. Rabbi Akiva was the only one who made it out. They overdid it. They went into places they shouldn't. And then we find that there are people who have such big kaychas, and they're not using their kaychas. They're only learning the Gemara, and they can know the Gemara Rashi well. And they did a Siyum on the Gemara, but they could have known Gemara Rashi. And then there are people who knew Gemara Rashi, they could have known Gemara Rashi Tosfos. And then there are people who could have remembered the Gemara, and instead they just breezed through. It's such a hard balance to know. Says Rav Meir Simcha, when Mashiach comes, every person, their yam, their hole, what they can handle, will be perfectly filled. Everyone, exactly according to their kochos, will get as much Torah as they can fit. They will feel like a king. They won't feel any type of frustration. They will just feel totally filled to the rim with Torah. Not too little and not too much. It's not an overload either. It's perfect for me. That is something that all of us, if we look every day, we're frustrated about this. Should I be doing this? Shouldn't I be doing this? Is this the right chavrusa? Is this the right shir? Am I in the right yeshiva? Am I applying myself? Should I be doing something different? Over there, everything's exactly lafi. And that's what it means. In the end of davening, we say, v'sein chalkenu. And also, we say in other parts of davening, v'sein chalkenu b'soy rasecha. She'ibone beis hamikdash b'merav yameinu. The beis hamikdash should come. And I should have my chelek, not his chelek, according to my kochos, a gilui of Torah that works exactly for me. Picture perfect. That's something that we're always striving for. And tika b'shofar, what does it mean, this shofar? The truth is, it's hard to know what this shofar is. What's this shofar? But anyone who's been living here for the past few weeks knows what a sound does. No, I'm not joking right now. Let's picture. If that sound starts, all of us, no one starts speaking, you just all book. Everyone just goes. That's what happens. Everyone just goes, and nobody speaks. It's just Pasha. The sound covers the reality. It just goes. It's unbelievable to experience such a thing. We've had it. We've experienced it. Now imagine the shofar Hagadol. When this shofar goes out, everybody, all the Nidchei Yisrael, all these guys in weird places, in Oklahoma and in the Far East and all that, they'll just start running. Start running. Mekabetz Nidchei Yisrael. People who are totally removed from all of this are going to come, are going to have a clear understanding of the message. The Rambam writes here, it was edited out of earlier Rambams, that the whole reason there's Krakshianity, there was Yashka, and there was Mohammed, the whole reason for these religions was in order to have bad shtickle Torahs about the same sugya that we're in. Meaning that they're all about, there were Jews, but that's not good. There was Jews, but that's not good. So now everybody knows about the Jews. Everybody knows about us. So he says, when Mashiach comes, And Mashiach just blows that shofar to tell everybody, by the way, you know that Jew thing? Yeah, everybody knows about the Jews because all the biggest religions have spread how wrong they are. Well, guess what? They're right. Oh. And then everyone just starts running towards MS. This is something that if we could just close our eyes and experience this, we're such near Duffin right now. It's so, I was telling my, you know, my family and telling whoever will listen, we're not, our goal is not to be upset when we find out in the papers that they're having, that they hate us publicly, they're having rallies here and rallies there. That's what we were kona as the metzias of the world. We never ever thought that it's supposed to be that they don't hate us. That's never going to be the metzias that they will like us. If you think they like us, they want something from us, or they're pulling a fast one on us. But that's the metzias. It's a schus to see that metzias, because that's the MS. The MS is until there's Shibud Malchias, until Melech HaMashiach comes, they will hate us and they will try to get us. They need to be controlled. They need to be put in their place. And it's a schus to see that metzias. It's a schus to see that metzias. Hashem should protect us from any of the ramifications of seeing that metzias. But to see it is to see reality. It's to see the reality that we've always known. And we come in Alat Tzadikim. In Alat Tzadikim, we say a very strange thing. We say Hashem should be a mishon, a post, a leaning post. Umivtach Lat Tzadikim. What's this bracha about? What this bracha is about, Bekitzer, is a bracha to see that the good guy should win. That the good guy should win. Why don't they interview Rav Chaim Kanievsky about his feelings about this war? He should be on CNN. He should be on Fox News. He should be on the cover of the New York Times. He has the most valuable opinion. And yet, who's that guy? Nobody knows about him. No one's ever heard of him. In Alat Tzadikim, you're davening that reality of Tzadikim, Chasidim, and all these great people, the way we know that they're supposed to be great in the world, it should happen. It should happen. And says the Vilna Gaon, he says, what's the post that you're davening for, the leaning post? The Mishan, Umivtach Latzadikim, he says, Hashem sometimes does this and he gives you clarity. He says, we did it one time when Haman HaRasha took Mordechai around, saying, Kacha Yaseh La'ish. Imagine the biggest villain in the world. You take the guy in Iran, and you've got Rav Aaron Leib Steinman on a horse, and that guy from Iran is going around. Can you imagine seeing such a thing? He says, that's like seeing Mashiach. That's like seeing the end of the whole story. And he says, Be'ezrus Hashem, before Mashiach, Hashem's going to do another one of these things. Another one like Mordechai and Haman. And I'm nervous, Rav Ose, I'll tell you why. I'm afraid it already happened. And we just didn't get it. If you go over all the things that are going on now, that have been going on for a long time, the whole Olam HaYeshivas back in Eretz Yisrael, learning Torah here and coming back, nothing to do with the state of Israel, having to do with the land of Israel. I think we're just thick. I think Hashem has done things for us that far surpass what Mordechai and Haman, that whole episode, have been, and we're missing it. But when you daven for this, maybe we'll get another one. You say, Hashem, give me some clarity here. I want to see something. I want to see something tangible over here. Now, what is Melech HaMashiach going to do? The Rambam writes that all he's going to do, he's not going to do any magic tricks, which is very interesting. You would want a whole magic show going on here. That's what I was ready for. The Rambam says there are no magic tricks. You know what the only thing the Rambam says he's going to do is? He's going to be successful in basically taking over Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be successful. His success is his proof that he is who he is. No magic show, no nothing. So what is this? Melech Mashiach is just going to get up here. He's going to come, no magic show. And he's just, somehow he's going to knock on the door of the Knesset and say, Rabosai, give me the keys? So I heard from Hagoyim Rav Moshe Shapiro, my Rebbe. He said the following thing. He said, Melech HaMashiach is going to come similar to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu amassed a whole following of Nefesh Asher Asu B'charan, people that he made. How did he get that group? Melech HaMashiach is going to be so fascinating, so amazing, that a human being could be so great. No one's going to ever have seen such a person, and everyone's just going to gravitate towards him. Whatever this man says, just people are going to do. They have never seen a Ben Adam this way. This person is somebody who's hoyge b'tara k'david aviv. He's somebody who's ligging in learning and in chachma, wisdom like we've never seen. And he's just going to take over the place. He's going to offer a clarity to everyone, and everyone will fall in hook, line, and sinker. That's it. His hatzlacha will be that. His hatzlacha will be the metzias of offering a clarity for us. And this a Ben Torah can relate to. I really feel this is bikaron what we want in life, is that type of clarity. But then somebody could ask, well, is that the end, though? If Mashiach comes, is that the buzzer? Meaning there's this question like, well, right now I'm working on myself and I'm doing things and I have problems and this and that and I'm trying to be better. How could I daven for the end? I still have a lot to do. Like very nice, Dark. You're at least married and you got a profession already. Like, I want to have my whole life ahead of me. Like, when Mashiach comes, is it like just like game over? It's a very valid question. Very valid question. And I heard this question from the B'nai Chabura. So the truth is, there is some truth to this point. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Tzadi Zion and the Ramchal in Das Tfunis is Marach on this Nakuda. Basically, after Mashiach comes, even though you'll still be a Baal Bechira, there's 6,000 years of working, which we're holding towards the end of those. There's another 1,000 years, the Elif Hashvi, which is technically you're still working on yourself, but it's not impressive. They're called Yamim She'ein Bahem Chefetz, the Gemara in Shabbos says. Days that are not so exciting in terms of your achievements, because it's no kunz. Once everybody's in the base medrash, then it's easier. So, stam, it's good to get it now. That's one thing. You got to make it before the buzzer. But then why would I want such a thing? I have a whole life ahead of me where I want to succeed on my own. And maybe there are things that didn't work out yet. Maybe there's a lot of problems. Malcolm Mashiach is going to take one smell at me. No thank you. So I had to call in big forces for this, and I spoke to someone from the great Mekubalim in our generation, and a Baki B'kol Kisvei Ramchal and Sisrei Torah. And I posed this question from one of the Bachrim to this Rav. And he said the following thing, and he said there are many rayas to this Nakuda, is that the greatest achievement that a person could ever have is to want Melech HaMashiach. We find it in Chassidus, in Mesillas Yesharim. It's at the end where a person shows he has a real relationship with Hashem. That's the whole idea of Chassidus, that I have a relationship. He says, such a person, of course, they have other things to work out in their life. But if they sincerely want the Beis HaMikdash, the schar of that achievement is so fantastically big that it will outdo any other problems that they have in their life. They'll end up that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Masadar for them everything. Of course, a person has to follow the Tariq Mitzvahs and they have to do tshuva. But this nekuda of being so attached that you care about this reality, being from the Mitzapim Li Yeshua, is something that we cannot be Meshire the level of Schar. And we're doing it every day, Rabosai. We're saying these brachas. These brachas are things that are shayach to us. These are things that we say every day. Believe me, it's the same lumdus we find when a person leaves the world, everyone should be told Meva Esrim. But let's say someone leaves early. We have a Maimer Chazal, Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosfos and Tzvachim, learn on Lo Alecha Hamlacha Ligmor. You probably know this song. Lo Alecha Hamlacha Ligmor. It's not for you to finish the work. And you can't give up. What is that going on? So Machlokes Rishayim. But one understanding of Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosfos is that it's not for you to finish your job. We make a big mistake. We think we have to finish everything. If we had to finish everything, everyone's unfinished. I'm sure Rav Elyashiv Zatzal, if he wanted to be the Vilna Gaon, could use a few more lifetimes. He got to be Rav Elyashiv, but I'm sure he could use a few more lifetimes to try to touch the Vilna Gaon. Pashut, everyone's in the middle of a job. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for you is he sees if you're on a mahalach. And if you're on that mahalach right now, so when the game stops, you get credit as if you finished it out. It's considered lo alecha amlacha ligmor. It's not for you to finish. So now it's time, a person to be ma'orer himself, a person coming onto a good mahalach mitzad himself, trying to work on himself, and davening for this higher reality, this reality of Mashiach Tzidkenu, it's something we want, Rabosai. It's something we want. And all you have to do is say, Borei Olam, I'm a Ben Torah, and I can relate to that type of reality. I could relate to having clarity like Rabbi Akiva Eger. Is the game going to be over? Yeah, but you won the game. If you want this, you won the game. If you want to be a Rabbi Akiva Eger and you don't want to shop in Brooklyn, and you can say in yourself, Nagila v'nismacha b'yeshua secha u'ba'avoydas beis hamikdash, Nismachulanu will all be happy with the Beis HaMikdash, then that's already the highest madrega. We should all be zochet to be metzapel Yeshua and see the Yeshua b'karav b'mi'amina.